game show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let's go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast.
The truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome everybody to the Guy James Show, coming to you on this lovely Tuesday afternoon here in Southwest Florida. I hope it's nice where you are as well. I hear it's snowing up north in a few places. Currently about, 78 degrees here, dry air, sunny. Beautiful day here in Southwest Florida. And I guess that's the reason so many people come here this time of year. If actually it's a little known secret how nice the fall is in Florida. The season really starts in January when all the snowbirds come down, but really the nicest weather we have is from now till till January. Beautiful, beautiful weather. This just in, 55 days, 19 hours, 57 minutes and 1 second until George Bush leaves the White House. That's right. We don't want to mention him too much on the program from now on, but it is good to know that there's just a little over 55 days, almost 56 days, until the guy is gone, and we won't have to talk about him, hopefully, for a long time after that, maybe only in as much as he and some of his people are getting prosecuted for crimes they committed while they're in the White House. But let's get beyond that today. Let's talk about how refreshing it was yesterday and today to hear our future president speak in complete sentences, actually talk in an intelligible manner. Because for 8 years we've had to listen to a guy who's really had the intellect of a fifth grader sometimes, it seems, and with his speaking abilities limited to two-syllable words, so... it's going to be good to have somebody with some brains back in the White House. Yes, it really is. I want to answer a couple of emailers I got, lest they be listening today. I don't know, but they sound like the typical right-wing, maybe a little bit sore because of the election, Republican, libertarians, whatever you call those people over there on the other side that hate anything to do with the Democratic politics, no matter what. Good, hate Roosevelt, hate Kennedy, hated everybody, everything to do. They say I'm a bit mean-spirited. Do you think that? Do you think I rant on too much? Do you think I show anger on this program all the time? Actually, I thought I've been quite compassionate lately. So I do want to, I don't want to disappoint everybody, so let me just... bring you today the new kinder, gentler version of Guy James. I shall not show my temper. I shall just be on an even keel the whole program. One of the emailers told me I should listen to the, I think he said, masters of talk radio and see that they don't display anger. Now, I would object to a little bit of that. It seems to me that the masters, if you're going to go by listenership, would be Mr. Limbaugh and Mr. Hannity these days. And to say that neither of them ever show any anger or don't even base their shows, especially Mr. Hannity, to say that Mr. Hannity doesn't base his entire shtick on anger would be living in fantasy land, wouldn't it? I don't know. I just think I say what I feel, and I don't gin anything up for you. However I'm feeling during the show, that's how I speak. And if you don't like it, why, it's not like a regular radio dial here at, you know, on the internet. It's a little bit more difficult to get to this program than it would be to accidentally run across one on the radio dial. So if you don't like it, like the show, and if you don't like the way I express myself, why, it's easy enough just to switch over to terrestrial radio or find another program. There are plenty of flaming right-wingers on the radio. There's some easy listening music should you not care to hear any anger ever. So I just wanted to address that earlier, early on in the program today. And so if I seem like I'm especially mellow today, I just want to show folks that I can be completely mellow and get my point across without resorting to anger. And maybe I can control that today, maybe not. But if I'm going to be honest, I'll just be, as the old guy said, be what you is. Even if you is old and ugly, be what you is. And so that's what I will be today, as usual. Hey, thanks for listening today. Coming to you from the beautiful blue waters and sandy beaches of Fort Myers, Naples area, Florida. As I mentioned, it is a glorious day. It's so good to have all of you along with us today. We have some things to talk about. We'll talk a lot today about the economy, I'm sure. That's first and foremost on many folks' minds still. And it appears that President-elect Obama is doing what he can to address that. Seems to me that he's working hard at getting the right people in. And please, let's stop all this about him. Well, he campaigned on change, and here he is putting some of these Washingtonians types in these offices. Hey, let's wait and see what he does about change before we complain about who he puts in any of the offices. Okay? Let's wait and see. Because it's not necessarily the characters in the office who would exemplify change. It is the policy and how Mr. Obama directs those under him to carry through his policy. So let's hold off on all that. I am not sure about some of the people that he's appointed so far, and that's fine. It's okay for us to have our concerns and our doubts, but I'm willing to go a long way. And if you'll remember, Mr. Bush brought in a lot of people from his father's administration. It's a small pool there in Washington and around the country for some of these jobs. So let's wait and see how they turn out. I think that's what we need to do. Then again, when I talk about Mr. Bush and his intellect and how he has spoken to us over the years, we all know that he really can't speak very well. Sometimes listening to me, I guess I can't speak very well either, but then I'm not the President of the United States. But then you have to look to who Mr. Bush and his right-wing cadre are speaking to, do you not? I was in a retail store the other day. I just want to relate a quick story to you. I was in a retail store the other day. Actually, I was in a Radio Shack, one of my favorite stores. And I was waiting behind a couple of other people while the clerk was checking this guy out. I don't know what he bought, but the clerk handed him his change, and it happened to be a nickel. I wouldn't have seen it, but the guy said, "Oh, I got a nickel back." The clerk said, "Yeah, there's your change. You can go to McDonald's." And the guy said, "Well, I'll sure need this by the time Obama gets done." He said this right in front of the rest of us. "I'll sure need it by the time Obama gets done raising our taxes." And so I stepped forward, you know me, and said, "Congratulations." And the guy looked at me and said, "Congratulations? And I said, yeah, you're talking about getting a tax increase and increasing your taxes. You must make over $250,000 a year. And he looked at me and he said, why, I don't make anywhere near that kind of money. So I said, then you won't get your taxes raised. That's what Mr. Obama has promised us so far. Isn't that what he's promised us? So I said, you know, you won't get your taxes raised if you don't make $250,000 a year. Where did you hear that you would get your taxes raised? He said, well, you know the answer. I heard it on TV. That everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows. They say. Everybody knows. That's the kind of electorate sometimes our candidates are speaking to. They know they're, and people wonder why they talk down to us sometimes. That's just one example so far of what I've run. And I, a friend of mine the other day, and I do consider him a friend, we never, ever talk about politics. Never. I don't think we've ever discussed it. Actually, we both have a love of automobiles, and we like to talk about old cars and such, and hot rod engines and that sort of thing, as a love of mine always has been. And he said to me, quite uncharacteristically, started mentioning politics, and he said, Guy, I just want to ask you a question. I know that you have your radio show and that you talk about politics all the time on there. He said, aren't you concerned about losing your guns? I said, well, first of all, Mark, I don't have any guns. Let it be known to all the thieves and robbers out there, I don't have any guns. I don't care if you do. That's fine with me. So long as they're hunting weapons or sporting weapons, but I'm unalterably opposed to these semi-automatic weapons. No hunter needs these sorts of things, and I think we have seen that they've done untold damage. And we can have a big argument about that, I know. But aren't you afraid, Guy, that you'll lose all your guns? Well, first of all, Mark, I don't have any guns. And secondly, where did you get that we're going to lose our guns? He said, well, you know, everybody knows. And here we go again. Everybody, they say, everybody knows that Obama's going to take our guns away. Everybody knows that. And guns, you know, he said, I was just thinking about going out and buying another one. I just don't want it to be that I can't have all the guns I want. And I said, Mark, what do you do with your guns? Well, I have them for protection. How many guns do you need for protection? How many do you have? He said, well, I've got five. What is that, one for everybody in the house? Should a robber break in, you've got your choice. Is that it? You're going to take a moment and decide which type of gun you need before you go to the gun cabinet. I hope you've got them locked away in a gun cabinet, safe and secure. That's one thing thieves like to get at when they come in the house. A lot of guys got a safe that they have their guns in, and that's being very responsible. Just a regular old gun cabinet isn't going to be very responsible. And so, guy's concerned he's going to lose all of his guns. And again, because of the talk on TV, because of the Hannity talk, they're going to bring back the Fairness Doctrine. Hannity's preaching that every day now. He's a conservative in exile. The conservative underground he's advertising himself as these days. I heard Mr. Hannity say a couple of days after the election that he was going to give the new president the benefit of the doubt, and I have heard him several times since preaching nothing but hatred, him and Glenn Beck, both saying that they were going to give the new president the benefit of the doubt, and they've both been preaching hatred at a new level, and a level heretofore not heard on their program. I think they're more vile and vicious and more hateful than ever before. And they've all been preaching that they're going to get your guns taken away, and that they're going to bring back the Fairness Doctrine and take the right-wing beloved radio shows off the air. That's right. Mr. Hannity's preaching that. They're out there, well, with the help of Newt Gingrich, going to take our guns away. Well, have all the guns you like. I don't care. Have your guns. I know hunters. You go out and go hunting and shoot a rabbit or a deer or whatever it is you like to hunt for. That's okay with me. I personally, it's not for me. It's not for me at all. But if you want to do it, that's okay with me. That's all right. I don't object to what you do. I don't have a right to object to what you do. But I do have a right to object if you have a weapon of that you can use for mass killing, like a semi-automatic or not, you know, these big automatic weapons with these huge clips in them. I do object to that. And I don't know that anybody needs one of those. And so if Obama, and when he gets going in his new term, and they want to work toward bringing back the ban on automatic weapons, that's fine with me. But it's just odd to me how the talk already, the right-wing talkers, and yes, it's being brought up on the chat room now. They keep saying that Obama's the most liberal senator ever in the history of the Senate. that's a joke. That's an absolute joke. But these are the things that are ginned up on right-wing hate radio. Personally, I would not object to bringing back the Fairness Doctrine. I do feel that local stations do owe their listeners more than a constant stream of nothing but right-wing hate radio. I do feel, here locally, for example, the one station, the big station here in town that has nothing but right-wing hate on it all the time. Oh, they have that loony George Norrie on at night, but they've got, you know, your Mark Levin, your Glenn Beck, your Laura Ingraham, your Limbaugh, your Hannity's, and I forget who else. Don't they owe the community something more than that? I understand it's a commercial station, but we own the airways, you and I. And wouldn't it behoove somebody that's using one of our airways, wouldn't it be right to ask them to be a little bit fair? Wouldn't it be right to ask them to balance it out a little bit? I don't know how. I'm not an expert on that. But it just seems to me that they're ginning this up already and turning it into a fear campaign. Oh, my God, they're going to take away my radio station. They're going to take away my gun. They're going to do no such thing. They're going to do no such thing. If you'd like to give us a call on the program today on this kinder, gentler Guy James Show day, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254, if you'd like to join us, we'd be happy to have you join us today. Hey, I hear that Alan Colmes is going to break his relationship with Sean Hannity, something like 12 years he's been the punching bag for Sean Hannity. I don't know how anybody could do that and have a clear conscience, present himself as the other side of the coin when all he has been. And I'm sorry, Alan. I've met Alan Colmes once. Very nice fellow. Very nice fellow. And I didn't bring it up to him, but I should have. Should have just asked the guy. How could you be somebody's dupe all this time? I mean, How could you be the punching bag for Sean Hannity for 11 or 12 years? They've been talking about who might replace Alan Colmes. Who, if anybody, replaces Alan Colmes? Maybe it'll just go on to be the Sean Hannity show. Although, if I were Hannity, I would continue to have a Bozo the Clown type dupe sitting on the other side of the table so I could punch away at him when I wanted to and have my guests like Dick Morris punch away at him when he wants to. I think it makes for good TV. I really think it does make for very good TV. It makes for good radio, too. You get the right team, makes a very, very good radio and or TV program. But Elo says it's 12 years about the average wife stays with a husband who beats her. Nice to see Colmes fits that mold. Who do you think is going to replace, if anybody, if they don't make it just a Sean Hannity show and make him fly solo, it'll be his choice. They're not going to make him do anything. What about Sarah Palin? What do you think? If she's got the chance to have a several million dollar a year contract thrown in front of her and come the bright lights and big stage of Washington, D.C., New York City and all that, and to get out of Alaska, you think she would do it? I think she would in a heartbeat. I would bet money that if she was offered a big fat contract, something on the order of several millions of dollars a year, I think Hannity now is working for what is it, $12 million a year? I could be a little off on that. I think O'Reilly's getting $7.5 million. Limbaugh, as you all know, is making $35 to $40 million a year. So if she were offered that kind of dough to come to New York City and live the good life and be able to shop at Saks Fifth Avenue and the stores she's been shopping at lately and actually be able to afford to pay the bill herself and bring the first dude with her, and he, you know, she can buy him that fancy underwear they were talking about, and the kids can get the Gucci bags or whatever. Well, I think she would do it in a minute. So maybe it'll happen. Maybe I'm just talking off my, you know, wishful thinking. Maybe that's what it is. What do you think about this bailout? What do you think about this Citigroup thing? First of all, I'd like to ask the people who are deciding these things now. We have... And I'm not going to be biased about this. I'm not going to be partisan about this. Many Democrats were in on this bailout as well. Oh, my God, we've got to pass this right away. We've got to pass it right away. The earth is going to come to an end. The world as we know it here in the United States is going to end if we don't pass this $740 billion. It turns out it's going to be a whole lot more than that. But that's what they preach to us. We've got to do something right now. We can't take our Christmas break or our Thanksgiving break or whatever it was. We can't do any of that. We've got to pass this bill right away. Got to do it. What was it? Over? Maybe it was Labor Day. And Congress was beaten down and criticized for taking off on a vacation while this thing set and the world was in peril right that very moment unless they passed that bailout bill. And so they listened to Hank Paulson and the administration. And they passed the $740 billion bailout. Many Democrats on it too. Let's not forget that. Many Democrats. And so it was a bipartisan effort, and they got this thing passed. And as you all remember, John McCain came storming back to Washington, D.C., put his campaign on hold for a whole day or half a day or whatever it was. And Obama stayed cool and collected all over the whole thing, but the McCain-Palin tickets acted like it was a dire emergency, had to be taken care of right away. And Hank Paulson convinced the Congress, the House and the Senate, that this had to be done right away, and he got his way. And he got almost complete control, not almost, he got complete control of the $740 billion, how it was to be doled out. And he told everybody it was going to be very transparent. We're going to post all the transactions on the website. We're going to use this money responsibly so that we can get the credit market going again. We can jumpstart the credit market and we can help out the banks. And the credit has ground to a halt. The economy has ground to a halt. And we heard all this talk. Don't worry, it's going to be okay if only you let me. Just let me do this and give me sole control over it. Well, they did. And so far, half the money's gone. We really don't know where. And in many cases, we really don't know why. And in some cases, the public doesn't even know to whom. And so we've thrown away $360 billion or so, 360 or 370. And the money's just gone. It's gone. And now we're trusting Hank Paulson to do it again. He's last week said that he wasn't going to spend the rest of the money. He was going to let the Obama campaign, people decide what to do with the rest of the money. But today he says, well, maybe we will go ahead and spend the money. Maybe we will. I'm confused. And help me out on this. Why would we trust him to do this again? Why does anybody still have any trust in Hank Paulson whatsoever? Nothing that they've done so far has done anything to help the economy that I can see. Have you noticed interest rates come down? Have you seen the credit market loosen up? Have any of you tried to buy a home? Have any of you tried to buy a new car? Have any of you applied for a new credit card? Have you applied to try and get any money at all? Have you seen cars or retail goods or houses? Have you seen anything begin selling since the great TARP bailout that Paulson and our Congress said was such a great idea it would pass? Have you seen all that get jump started and things are on the mend? It's a total failure. Let's face facts here. It's a total failure, and I don't know why Paulson just doesn't come out and admit it. He's not going to be there only a couple of more months. Is he afraid of his legacy too? But it's a total failure. It was a bait and switch move by Paulson, and what's more, they're keeping on, doling out the money, our money, which we don't have and probably never will have that much, and we have an impaired treasury bailing out an impaired bank with Citigroup and the others, and I knew that sooner or later, one of these boys was going to shoot his foot off. And I really underestimated their ability to screw things up. And you know, you stop and think back on it. Where's an Elliot Spitzer when you need him? And so now the taxpayers are being asked to bail out these large firms, which showed very little interest in the economic health of this country, and which engaged in this winner-take-all capitalism that everybody thought was so great, where those at the top, like Robert Rubin, became mega-wealthy, with little or no regard to the eroding conditions of the American middle class. And maybe my math is off a little bit, but it seems to me that if you buy capital, and I'm talking about Citigroup here, if you buy capital in a corporation equal to 3 or 4 times its market cap, shouldn't you own the company? Am I missing something here? We're getting, what is it? 20% in Citicorp, and there's not going to be any management changes at Citi. It reminds me of the old joke, why do sharks refuse to eat lawyers? Professional courtesy. These people are taking care of one another like nobody's business. And I guess my question to you is, wouldn't we be better off to just bite the bullet and declare all this derivative crap worthless right now and be done with it? Do we want this stuff to just be lying around and keep being thrown back again by one bank after another just to reappear a second time? I mean, it's kind of like taking castor oil when you were a kid. Just swallow hard and get it over with. Isn't that what we should do? Rather than engage in a slow, torturous economic death of this country? I don't know. I'm not an economist. I've studied econ, but I'm certainly not one of the best and brightest minds in the country on that subject, and I don't know the answer to this. Obviously, no one does. Or obviously, if someone does, their advice is not being heeded at this time by anybody, any of the powers that be. One can only hope that the Barack Obama administration will have assembled a good enough group, somebody that cares enough about all of the people, not just those on Wall Street, a group that cares enough about the entire economy, the working man, the poor man, and the people on Wall Street. Maybe we'll have an administration with wise enough people, economic advisors, to really do something meaningful instead of what we've been doing so far. Because what we've done so far about this hasn't amounted to use one of my father's favorite phrases, a hill of beans. Might change that nowadays, that hill of beans statement. Beans are getting kind of expensive. I noticed I was making some bean soup. Any of you make bean soup? Anyway, I was soaking the beans overnight in a package of beans. Like $2.35 now. I remember they were like 69 cents only a couple of years ago. Don't know why I threw that in there. Anyway, we're going to pause for a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and hope you'll join us.
show. But I would find the time to do all those things I've always wanted to do. Never had the money, never had the time. Cause I've always had to work.
I don't know.
Ah, yes, it's going to be a lovely day, and it is a lovely day here. I hope it's a nice day where you are as well. You're listening to The Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. So good to have all of you along with us. Presenting to you today the new kinder, gentler Guy James today. All right? Yeah. Some of you may not understand what I'm talking about here that joined us a little late today. We had an emailer say that we were just angry all the time and that I should listen to some of the masters of talk radio, and I would learn that they don't use anger in their shows. Well, I do want to explain to everybody once again, those of you that didn't hear me, any anger that I've shown in this program was not contrived. It was how I actually feel, and that's what I think I owe you. I owe you the honesty of letting you know who I am, what I am, and how I feel each day, and that I haven't ginned something up just to please you. I am what I am, like Popeye said. So, but anyway, in an effort to please the couple of emailers that we got about that issue, I'm presenting to you today the kinder, gentler Guy James, and I think I've been a model of gentility since the program started today, don't you think? I know, some of you think that's really boring. We invite you to join the program. We're talking about the Citicorp bailout to do today, 866-546-5254. Their stock, Citigroup stock, is the lowest that it's been in like 10 years. And at the price that they closed at just the other day, I figured up, I think it was Friday's closing price. At that price, the stock that's out is only worth about $20 billion, down from about $244 billion just a couple of years ago. And they've gotten rid of about 75,000 people altogether. They say this money will help them stay afloat. Do you think it will? Is this a temporary thing? Is this going to be another one of these zombie companies that they're always talking about? You know how they're talking about the auto group right now, the big three. They don't want them just to become zombie companies whereby they're being fed funneled cash from we the people just to keep them alive and have them fail at a later date. Is that what we're looking at with the financial institutions as well? Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, this is Juanita.
Hello, Juanita.
Have those people named names of the mild-mannered talk people?
Well, no, they didn't. They just told me to listen to, quote, the masters of talk radio.
Well, they need to let you know so you can learn.
So I could, listen and learn.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be as gentle as I can today, and so you know, therefore I won't disappoint them if they don't want to hear.
Yeah, they need to come up and let you know who you need to listen to.
You know, Juanita, if I were listening to the program and I didn't like it and it offended me enough to write an email and complain about it, I would just call the show, and I know you would as well. Just call the show and discuss it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would, in my brand new mild-mannered way, I would discuss it fully and very gently with them. You know I would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you.
So I'm inviting them to call.
But you do good sometime, you know. I mean, unless they act like complete idiots, and then what are you going to do?
I know.
You know, it's funny how people tell somebody how to run their show when they've been on for years and years or something. You know, something must be going right with you guys.
I guess.
You must be doing something right.
Yeah, I'll mangle the saying. You can please some of the people some of the time and not all the people all the time. So,
can I say something about Holmes? I mean, Hannity?
Yes, go right ahead.
Have you heard about his shows he's going to put on all over the country?
No.
State shows or something like that.
Oh, you mean all those patriotic things he does?
Oh, yeah.
They go out and put on, like, get a big concert venue, and him and Ollie North and Mark Levin go, and then they get these country singers to come and all.
Yeah, he's got Billy Ray Cyrus and Daniels, and I forget how many others.
Well, wherever there's a right winger playing, no Daniels is going to be there, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I love his music, but
yeah.
Get it.
Well, I was it Charlie? Was it Hank Williams Jr.?
Yeah, Hank Williams Jr. said
yeah.
that. I don't know if he's in the state thing, but he's a right winger. Yeah.
Yeah. So are we confusing?
I think most of them are.
Are we confusing? Well, you know, any time we're talking about God's guns and all that, you got a good portion of that, you know, that group in there. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah, they Faith Hill and her husband McGraw, they're Democrats. They came out against Bush.
Oh. So are we confusing things here? Is it Charlie Daniels and Hank Williams Jr. or is it just Hank Williams Jr.? I'm not sure. I don't know.
What do you mean that they're right wing?
Yeah.
Oh, Hank Williams Jr. is, and so is Charlie Daniels.
Charlie is too. Okay, I didn't want to confuse the two.
He's a right wing Christian too.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? When Clinton was running for president, Billy Ray Cyrus was a Democrat. His father was a Democratic congressman, and they were at the convention supporting Clinton.
Oh.
But I think he's gotten into the right-wing Christianity stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that.
I guess that's why they call it faith. Faith something. Is it faith concerts or something?
Hmm. You know, I have to admit, being fairly naive about some of that stuff, I didn't know until fairly recently. I'm trying to think which one of it was. The kid that's the big hit.
The one on
Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't know until recently that Hannah Montana was Billy Cyrus's daughter.
Right.
Miley Cyrus. I didn't know. I'm ashamed to admit.
She looks like her mama.
Oh, I don't know that I've ever seen her mama, but I honestly didn't know that.
Well, I saw them on the show.
Ah.
But
it runs in the family. They've got the talent in the family, I guess.
I think she was a masketeer.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
I'm getting an education here today.
Oh, aren't you glad?
A masketeer. That Britney girl?
Yeah, and Christine Aguilera.
They were all masketeers.
Uh-huh.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if her sister was or not.
See, now, Juanita, I'm giving my age away here.
But is that right?
I remember when I was a youngster, the love of my life at the time was Annette Funicello.
Oh, yeah.
M-I-C-K-E-Y.
Did you know that she had multiple sclerosis?
Yes. Yes, I did. And what a beautiful young lady she was. And
yeah.
I guess the Mouseketeers were a bit different then than they are now, evidently.
I think so.
There are some people listening to you and I right now, Juanita, that are saying, who are they talking about?
Right.
Sorry, kids.
But anyway, I just thought, well, Guy, you need to find out who those people are.
Well, I you know.
The people that I like are the ones that tell it like it is, you know.
Well, I'm going to continue to tell it like it is, but I guess I'm just going to have to be really, really nice about it from now on.
Maybe you could go to some kind of finishing school.
Yeah, yes, and get finished.
Learn to be genteel.
You know the old saying: you catch more flies with honey than than
like
vinegar.
Holmes.
Yeah.
Holmes.
Yeah.
Bless his heart.
Yeah.
See how he said it.
I don't know either. I can't imagine. I just can't imagine.
Oh, God. That guy. You know, I think I despise Hannity more than I do Rush.
Yeah, you know, unless he's got me fooled. and he may. I really think that Hannity believes everything he says.
I don't know.
I'm not so sure about Limbaugh and the rest of them. But
so much of that is lies, too. Maybe they make themselves believe it. I don't know, because a lot of people, like I have a friend that believes all that stuff.
Well, kind
of. You know that.
Kind of scares me a little.
That I love the way you talked to the guy about the must be making $250,000
a year. Yeah, yeah. Isn't it something? You hear people drop those kind of statements all the time, and I'm just one that even the kinder, gentler me, I just can't let something like that go by and not say something about it. I don't know.
I'm for you guys, you know, just I hope that you'll improve though.
Well, I hope so too, and I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to check out this.
I think you're doing just fine.
Well, thank you, but nonetheless, I'm going to check out this finishing school idea here.
We can always change.
Yes,
you know?
that's right.
Maybe you'll go on one of those state shows or something.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for calling, Winita. Good to hear
bye-bye.
From you as always. Bye bye. Finishing school. That's maybe that's what I need to be this kinder, gentler guy, James. If I've been acting out of anger all the time, maybe I need anger management. Maybe perhaps that's it. I think everybody that knows me knows that I am a guy who does have a temper, and it has ameliorated with age. There's any question about that. So all of you youngsters, if you got a wicked temper and it can light your fuse real quickly, it'll get better as you get older. I know mine has. I'm really giving a lot of personal stuff away here today, aren't I? 866-546-5254, if you'd like to join us here on the program. We're talking about the Citicorp bailout. And I know our current president likes to assure us that, notwithstanding this massive bailout of the American banking system, that he's some sort of a believer in, and he likes to throw the phrase around, and the right-wingers all do, the free market capitalism. And he says that, and they all say it, without even a little teensy-weeny bit of irony there, while we ordinary citizens here are allowed to eat cake. And that's just how it is. And I've been thinking quite a lot about it lately. Not how to fix this mess we're in, because I'm just a simple person living in Fort Myers, Florida, trying to make a living just like most of you are. But how is it that this commander-in-chief that we have right now can make such pronouncements in such a serious way? But really it makes perfect sense, because we're not used to having much but the leftovers from the people at the top anyway, right? Remember Barbara Bush after Katrina? When she went down to, where was it, Houston, and went into the big dome down there and saw all the refugees in there, just give them some warm food and a roof over their heads. They're not used to that sort of thing, so really this is working out very nicely for us. Think really about how difficult it must be to adjust from a seven-figure income to down maybe just the high sixes. There's some real suffering going on right there. And if you think about the Bush family and the conservatives now, their brand of free market capitalism that they keep talking about, Bush learned from his father and his father's friends, use your family name to borrow money to make money. And even if you lose money, someone's going to be there to pick up the pieces. And even if you're loaded, use public money to finance a public works to help fat cats make even more money, a la that stadium down in Texas. So if you find yourself scratching your head over this, don't fret about it too long, because it all makes perfect sense. And, you know, it's the old Reagan mantra. Help those at the top. They need it the most, and then it's all going to trickle down to us. Right? You feel the trickle coming now, don't you? You don't? Well, you've got some sort of a problem then, because they say it trickles down. Had someone send this to me, and I agree with it so very much. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if the emailer is the author of this or not. Just wrote it and signed it Dave. Sent it to Dave, called Piglets at the Teats of the Government. Remember the phrase, that phrase or something similar from the 1990s? welfare debate. The poor were piglets sucking at the teats of the greatest mummy sow of them all, the federal government. And that's how Bill Clinton ended up ending welfare for good and all that after the Republicans took over the Congress and needed their own blood-red meal, the poor. Except that welfare was never ended for a certain segment of the society, and I'm talking about rich. Welfare for the rich and the corporatists has not ended in this country. The U.S. government's prepared to provide more than $7.76 trillion on behalf of American taxpayers after guaranteeing $306 billion of Citigroup's debt yesterday. If you read that story about Citigroup getting $20 billion more, they've also got a guarantee of $306 billion. Now, this is one company. $306 billion of their bad debts they've got on the book is being guaranteed by the U.S. government. That means you and me. Every time I say government, you just substitute the word you and me, we the people. And these pledges, amounting to half the value of everything produced in the nation last year, are intended to rescue the financial system after the credit market seized up 15 months ago. And it goes on to say, following the discussion about who deserves a bailout is fascinating, because Detroit and its car makers don't deserve one. Never mind that the industry is one of the largest employers in the country, but banks, those halls of marble and pillars, do deserve one, because they have us all by the short and curly. They're too big to fail. And who initiated that phrase, too big to fail? Or rather, their failures will hurt all the little gals and guys much more than it will hurt the rich, and that's how the rich got saved once again. I'm not belittling the need to do something about the economic recession, because the financial industries do have us by the short and curlies, but I do want to point out that when we ended welfare for all times, we added lots of stuff about the poor having to work to get welfare payments, and lots of time limits on how long any one family could stay on welfare. And all this for an expense that was around $1 out of each $100 the federal government, you and I, spent then. Now, we're willing to hand over a bazillion dollars and ask nothing back in terms of good behavior. Indeed, we're not even demanding that those in charge would be demoted, because we want stability in the banks. Nobody worried about the stability of the families on welfare in the great and the roaring 90s, and if you don't think that power goes with money in this society, then you're probably not a member of this society. And yes, Larry Summers got a cushy job in the Obama administration. He's a good economist, and perhaps the country needs him, but slurs about us womenfolk still only cause a hiccup on the career rises out of her boys. And as you know, Larry Summers, that slur... He was at Harvard, and he made this statement that women weren't very good at math. Don't know where he got that. Don't know if he just pulled it out of thin air. Don't know if there's any statistics to back it up. But lest you gals think that you're being slighted there, I know a lot of things the gals are better at than men. So we've both got, even if you were not as good at math as guys, you're a hell of a lot better at a lot of things than we are. So it goes both ways. I don't want to get into that argument, but you know what he said might be true, might not be true. I have no idea. It probably wasn't a good idea for him to say it when he did. But rest assured, gals, many of us who are not Cro-Magnon men do believe that women have the upper hand in many, many different categories. Absolutely. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join us here on the program. I do wonder about Paulson. I do wonder if anybody has any faith in him anymore at all. Do you? I don't. Everything that he's come up with since this thing started, him and Bernanke have... Well, Bernanke actually said the other day that he underestimated the housing problem in the country, the housing mortgage problem. He vastly underestimated it. I'm not so sure you can underestimate it at this point. I don't see any sign that things are turning around whatsoever. Do you? Is real estate sales picking, are they picking up where you live? They may be picking up where I live, but foreclosures are also rising at the same time. We had, like I mentioned recently, almost 2,700 last month just in this county. So it remains a really, really tough problem. Let's head on over to the phone. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, guys, Kevin from Brooklyn.
Hi, Kevin.
How you doing?
Good.
Austin, I don't know. It's amazing to me, like, all these billionaires who are going in front of the congressional hearing, how all of a sudden they start stuttering like a monkey when they go up to testify.
Yeah.
You know, the guy for Lehman Brothers, he was as articulate as Stuttering John from the Howard Stern Show.
Well said. Well said.
And the same thing with Paulson. You know, it's like what we need to do is freeze all their personal assets.
I wouldn't mind seeing that. A lot of the money that they took out of there, I mean, I know it's only a drop in the bucket, but still. There has to be some punishment, doesn't there, somewhere? And I do use that word, punishment.
Yeah, and it's like, I think about it, you know, Elliot Spritzer, who kind of kept the rein on them as best he could, he was set up. He definitely was. You know, yes, he had this weakness for call girls, but, you know, hey.
I know, that's what surprised me about that whole thing, that he would go out and get caught on something like that, because he had to know that the big money, the power.
Somebody was hungry for him.
Had to know that. He had to know that.
But he figured, you know, they're all doing it themselves, which I'm pretty sure they are.
Well, people with power and money, you know, that's how it goes. That's how it goes. But it's just, I just would have thought that somebody in his position would have been either good or more careful.
Yeah, you know, you cannot, like, especially when you'd be pissing off a lot of people, cannot afford to be in a position like that.
Yeah, those people.
While you're in power.
You can't piss off those kind of people. They'll get you. They'll always get you.
Because I'll never forget, when he did step down, the market went up.
Yeah, what was the guy in New York, the guy head of the New York Senate? I can't think of his name, his big enemy, his arch enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he stepped on the wrong toes.
Yeah. It's like, because technically when you're governor of New York City, you are, you know, you pretty much run the stock market.
Well, I wish Bloomberg, here we've got a master businessman in New York right now, in Bloomberg. No one can deny that he's not a good businessman. Things have gotten out of control there. And I blame it on you. You haven't gotten down there and done the kind of protesting that I would have expected from you. I I'm a little disappointed in that. I wanted pictures. I wanted to see it on the evening news and all that. Kevin and his band of warriors down there, hell no, we won't go, or so, you know, anything.
The thing is, Wall Street is like an armed fortress. The Pentagon is.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. You got the Fed down there. Yeah, it's well taken care of, but
So my little protest thing.
Well, see, it's not the size there. It was the thought that would have counted for me, to know that you were down there and you couldn't do that.
There are different ways of protesting. Don't bank at them. I bank in foreign banks now, or very local bank.
You can't be that far from now. How long did it take you to get there on the train and all that? An hour?
From my house?
Yeah.
To the door?
Yeah.
15 minutes.
How long?
15 minutes.
Oh, man, this is sounding worse all the time. You could have been at 15 minutes. Well, the Guy James Show will personally pay for the sign. You buy the stick to put it on. We will pay for the sign, and we'll we want you down there on Wall Street, standing right beside the bull and the bear down there.
Oh, sure.
And a shot to prove that you were there.
Please jump.
Yeah, I like that one. That's my favorite one.
Yeah. But they're not jumping. They have no reason to jump because most of them have their money.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, and put it to you this way, and this is why, okay, in all honesty, I probably did not protest because whatever occurred, occurred months, even years ago.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's just starting to catch up after the fact.
That's for sure. It's like trying to stop a big long train. It takes a long time from the time you notice the car accident to get the train slowed down, and that's exactly what we're looking at here. Hey, Kevin, got to run for the news.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Okay, no problem, my buddy.
Bye now.
Bye.
You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. CNN is guilty of widespread and egregious anti-union misconduct, demonstrating a flagrant and general disregard for employee rights at its New York and Washington bureaus. That's according to a decision from a National Labor Relations Board administrative law judge. Brian Powers is an attorney for NABIT CWA, the union representing 110 workers that have been ordered reinstated at CNN.
Unfortunately, CNN took the position that they were not bound by the contract, turned their back on the union, canceled union contracts, and proceeded to implement the Bureau staffing project, which resulted in the layoff of 113 qualified technicians in the Washington Bureau and New York Bureau. So really, they had no talks with the union. The union requested bargaining 3 or 4 occasions, both in D.C. and in New York, and CNN rebuffed them at every turn.
CNN could appeal this ruling, but Powers hopes to see the cable news network instead do the right thing and respect its workers.
CNN could recognize the union, remedy the violations, and resume the bargaining relationship, which, of course, is what we hope will occur.
25,000 Massachusetts personal care attendants have approved their first contract that boosts wages and benefits. Jeff Hall is with 1199 SEIU Healthcare Workers East.
By improving the wages and the benefits in this historic manner, it's really going to allow people to stay on the job and deliver the quality home care that so many in Massachusetts depend upon.
The Teamsters continue to roll across the country, picking up workers as part of their national Drive Up Standards campaign. Jesse Russell reports.
The most recent stop for the Teamsters Drive Up Standards campaign was in Charleston, Illinois, where 64 bus drivers and monitors signed up for union representation. The employees work for First Student, and the Teamsters have been involved in a nationwide campaign to organize bus company employees across the country. Since the program began in 2006, more than 13,500 employees have signed on. Earlier this month in Naperville, Illinois, 417 drivers also joined the Teamsters Union. The Drive Up Standards campaign seeks to improve service, safety, and standards in the private school bus industry.
Drumming is not protected under labor law. That was the ruling of the New York Court of Appeals on Monday as they heard a case regarding members of the Service Employees International Union, Local 32BJ, who were drumming as they sought to organize security workers at the Empire State Building over 18 days in 2005 and 2006. The court ruled 4-2 that such drumming is subject to nuisance complaints. The union is still attempting to organize the historic building's guards.
Here is today's economic report. A study released on Monday has found that less workers are contributing to their 401k plan. 4% of workers stopped contributing as Wall Street began to take a dive. Stock holdings are down overall by 14%. Only 53.8% of assets are held in stocks. There hasn't been a big decline in the number of eligible workers who contribute to 401ks, only a drop of 2%. However, new money dedicated to stocks is at 58%.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get calm down. Six. Five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening, in fact, to the Guy James Show here on the Hit On Radio Network on this Tuesday. Nice day today here. I know it's snowing up in Ohio and up in places like that today. Heard from one of my relatives telling me that it's snowing, so... That's not, I don't know. I don't care for it. I guess that's why I live in Florida. I guess you can ask most everybody that lives in Florida, what do they think about snow, and I tell you they don't like it, otherwise we wouldn't be here, right? Yes. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to join us here in the program, if you've got some, minutes left over on your, you know, wide open phone program, or you can call whoever you want to. You can give us a call at 941-876-6896. 941-876-6896. Love to have you join us here on the program. Before we get back to talking about the Citicorp bailout and the Wall Street bailouts in general, did you know, you all remember Duke Cunningham, right? From California, congressman from California, the former fighter pilot. Got sent to prison for basically corruption. They had a petition up for him to seek a pardon from Mr. Bush before he leaves office. And this petition has been up for 3 years. 3 years. Now, I would feel seriously bad over this if I were Duke Cunningham. He must have gone to prison thinking that he had some friends, right? 3 years, and there's 13 signatures on the petition. 3 years. Pretty lonely in there, isn't it, Duke? And speaking of being lonely, how'd you like to be Rich Rodriguez, if I may take a moment and gloat? How'd you like to be Rich Rodriguez, the coach of the Meat Chicken Wolverines? his first year there, after he defects, after he leaves all of his friends and everybody in West Virginia in the lurch, just up and leaves a successful program that he'd built there, and took the money and ran to Ann Arbor, Michigan. His first game against Ohio State, which is the game that means everything to Michigan and Ohio, he gets clobbered 42-7, not that the Buckeyes even played that well, because they didn't. And he goes 3-9 for the year, wins 3 and loses 9. I'll bet when he got home Saturday night, his dog didn't even greet him at the door. I'll bet he didn't. I mean, you talk about, wow. 3-9, the University of Meat Chicken. Wow, that's amazing. So there I did it. I gloated. I had to rub it in a little bit. It has now been 5 years since the University of Meat Chicken has defeated Ohio State University. Five. That's a handful, folks. So, we'll see. Anyway, I tried to avoid it, and I didn't say that in a mean-spirited way, as you notice. The new, kinder, gentler Guy James here. I said it in a very nice way. And Rich, I hope you enjoy the off-season very, very much. Just think, yeah, if you'd have stayed at West Virginia, you would have been gone to a nice bowl game, probably someplace warm, and you would have had lots of adoring fans, and your quarterback would have just set the record, all-time record for yards gained by a quarterback on the ground and all that. But no, he had to leave. Had to leave for the friendly confines of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And, well, we're glad to have you, Rich. Us Buckeye fans, you're 0-1, and we'll see how it goes from now on. I don't know what happened here, but all of a sudden the chat room went down. Did it go down for the rest of you? We'll try to log back in and see what happens here. It just went boom. There it is. It's back for me. Okay. 866-546-5254. I guess it just happened for everybody. Okay. Anyway, we're all getting back on the chat room here now. Hey, if you're listening at another venue and you want to join us in the chat room, just go over to headonradionetwork.com, sign up for the chat room, get in there, a whole bunch of friendly folks in there. So, welcome. We'd like to have you. We've been talking about the financial carnage that's been taking place, maybe not so much on Wall Street, but the effects of it happening all across America. And you know, as sure as you're sitting there, and as sure as I'm sitting here, oil prices have been tanking. And you know it's inevitable that they'll be going back up again. And they'll be going back up soon. And when that happens, this entire bubble is going to burst wide open. Imagine, if you will, as tough as things have gotten with the unemployment, and there are many forecasts say the entire nation is going to be in a 9% unemployment late next year, so they don't see any signs of the continued unemployment abating anytime soon, that people would have to pay the high price for gasoline again, because it's going to come. The high price of gasoline is going to come back. That's inevitable. And the whole U.S. financial system is actually somewhat, in my opinion, it's akin to a massively cloaked pyramid scheme, and this financial derivatives market is really and truly the biggest casino on earth, and we haven't seen anything yet. When these derivatives start going south, all of them, and they will, this whole thing's going to collapse like a house of cards, and in the very near future. And when it does, all hell's going to break loose. The domino effect of these derivatives, these what I call financial weapons of mass destruction, might just cause the Great Depression to look like kids' play. And we're not talking about billions of dollars here anymore. We're not talking about billions of dollars at all. We're talking about trillions. Trillions of dollars. And it's not just here in this country, but it's going to be a worldwide financial tsunami. And the tailspin end results are going to be like going into a financial black hole with no end in sight for a long, long time. Something's got to be done. Like I said, I don't know what. But it does trouble me, and I know it troubles a lot of you, because I've heard from you, saying that they've privatized all their profits on Wall Street and now socializing the losses. And when investment capital, well, it's risk capital. When you invest money, you're taking a risk. You're putting your money down on the black or red certain number on a roulette wheel. That's what you're doing. Hopefully with an informed decision on a company that's well-run, well-managed, got a good track record. But you're placing your money on a roulette wheel. That's what you're doing. And investment capital is risk capital. It shouldn't be thought of as any other way. And it should be at risk. If you're putting down risk capital, you should be at risk. And I got this note out of the Bloomberg today. The U.S. government's prepared to provide more than $7.76 trillion on behalf of American. You know, when I was a kid, I don't think we even knew what number came after billion. And now we're talking about $7.76 trillion, to quote this Bloomberg article, on behalf of the American taxpayer, that's you and me, after guaranteeing $306 billion of Citigroup debt this week. And these pledges amount to half the value of everything produced in the nation last year, and they're supposed to rescue the financial system. And so far, we haven't seen any evidence that they are. I'm okay with bailing out the financial industry to prevent a massive run on the banks that just ruins the credit market and destroys day-to-day commerce in this country. I'm okay with that if it has to be done. However, this massive fiasco where risk should actually mean a risk of loss is actualized. Citigroup's shareholders are not being wiped out. The senior management is not being replaced. Their internal controls are not being examined, so no one learns. No one figures out that it is a good idea to go against the crowd when something's amazingly dumb is happening and could threaten next quarter's bonus, and besides one or two good years sets in, it actually sets up an executive for life. No one's figured it all out, and I would ask you to remember this. Remember the name Prince Alwid bin Talal, the Saudi billionaire? He invested several billion dollars into Citigroup. Is it right for the man to put several billion dollars into Citigroup and not have that money at risk? Rather than have the taxpayers, do we need to have taxpayers bailing out billionaires? Do we need to do that? So I'm for a bailout if it helps the overall economic condition of the United States. But I do believe that the stockholders in these companies should not be getting dividends. They should risk losing all. So far, they haven't. So we'll see a repeat of this crisis again, as it pays not to learn. It does. It actually pays not to learn. I could go out and lose a couple of trillion dollars in value and wealth for far less cost than Wall Street, and I bet I could do it for less risk as well. But no, we can't harm the people who put this country and the global economy in this position. No, we can't hurt them, or they might learn something. So the U.S. is guaranteeing $306 billion on bad investments. So much for capitalism without failure. And for Citi, it's a great deal. But it's a terrible deal for our taxpayers. The dividend payments have been restricted to 1 cent per quarter for 3 years. Can anybody explain even why a penny is allowed? Where's the protection for the taxpayers? Where are the drawbacks? And how about going after the idiots that brought a third of $1 trillion worth? You know, they bought this stuff. The Citibank people bought these a third of $1 trillion worth of junk. And they got paid big money for doing it. And so where's the sense of outrage and justice in all this? At what point do the taxpayers demand that the people responsible for creating this mess have got to pay their pound of flesh for the whole thing? The sad part is that the total value of all the potentially problem mortgages is only in the range of $2 to $3 trillion overall. And the United States could have purchased, you and I, we could have purchased these mortgages at face value. But no investor loses on mortgages, no losses on CDs. 100 times zero, still zero, so leverage losses wouldn't be an issue. Instead, we're sitting at U.S. government providing $7.4 trillion in total guarantees to banks and over $2.8 trillion already transferred to banks, and they haven't even addressed these mortgages yet. Is this why great countries only last a couple of hundred years? Think back all the great countries over the years, the great regimes. The elites lose all contact with honor and goodwill and common sense. I don't know. I saw what I consider to be the most sad indirect measure of the U.S. economy that I've noticed in a long, long time. Picture this, if you will. The number of people who are selling blood plasma is skyrocketing. That's right. In a weak economy, plasma centers are pulsating with donors seeking dollars. And donations that reap $20 to $45 may hit $16 million this year, up from $10 million in 2005. An industry group said total donations may hit $16 million this year, again up from $10 million just 3 years ago. One of the busiest seasons that they've observed, with more first-time donors joining the twice-a-week regulars. I didn't know you could donate blood twice a week. Each liter of plasma can be worth as much as $200 before the manufacturing process and as much as $500 after, analysts said. About two-thirds of a liter of plasma is taken on each visit, depending on the donor's weight. So here we are in a bad economy, and we have people selling their blood to eat. Now, there's always been a certain amount of that, but now it's worse than that. Or depending on how you look at it, or better for the people in that industry than ever. Bob Brinker. Yeah, any of you listen to Bob Brinker? I have an opportunity on Saturdays to listen to Bob Brinker's show. I don't know when else it's on, but it's on about 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon where I live. And he's the host of the popular financial show Money Talk. And he's not particularly partisan. I think he's kind of a Republican, but I wouldn't want to swear to it. And he really got into Hank Paulson for pulling the bait and switch on this TARP issue. And he accused top management of Big Auto for screwing things up for decades, too. His audience is predominantly middle-class Americans without any real political bias that I can tell. But Brinker is... he's kind of a voice of reason in the financial market. On the other hand, Fox News political analyst Tammy Bruce. Have you ever seen her, Tammy Bruce? She's still half nuts. On Friday, she once again called Obama a Marxist, despite the enormous evidence in front of everybody's face that he is very, very moderate. We're going to pause for a break. We'll be right back. This word from Media Matters.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today, since the beginning of October, political analyst Dick Morris has repeatedly used his columns and Fox News appearances to promote and raise money for the National Republican Trust PAC, without disclosing that the organization has paid over $24,000 to a company connected to Morris. And during that time, Morris's email newsletter has frequently included ads that state, paid for by the National Republican Trust PAC.
One of the things that I'm urging people to do is to go online right now to GOPtrust.com. Conservatism is too important to leave it to the Republican Party. And I think this group is the equivalent of the MoveOn.org, only for the right.
Indeed, between October 27th and November 17th, Morris mentioned GOPtrust.com in at least 13 Fox News appearances and has repeatedly asked viewers to give funds to GOPtrust.com. For details on the story and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Governor Sarah Palin, a grateful nation wishes to thank you for serving the people of America with a servant's heart. We thank you for your passionate, hopeful, and articulate advocacy of common sense conservative values.
You're a symbol of hope for America. We're thankful you taught your son about the greatness of America and the honor and valor of serving in our nation's armed forces.
Thank you, Sarah Palin.
We thank you for fighting for everyday working families and preserving the American dream.
Thank you for the grace and dignity you showed, even when some tried to sneer and destroy you.
God bless you, Governor Palin.
You've inspired us, both young and not so young.
Thank you, Sarah Palin.
At a time when so many politicians seem to have let us down, you've given us hope. And we just wanted to say,
thank you, Sarah Palin.
Our Country Deserves Better PAC is responsible for the content of this ad.
That's a drum solo by Hillary Jones. I do love drums. I do.
Yeah, Hillary Jones. A great female drummer. Very, very good. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I was a drummer back in the day. Oh, yeah. 866-546-5254. So glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. I do hope you'll join us here in the program. A very, very sad note. Going into Thanksgiving, there is someone we all know who will not be enjoying a Thanksgiving dinner this year. It's very sad to know that it's a joyous holiday to spend with friends and family and dine on a sumptuous meal and give thanks for being in this country, for all the blessings that we have. And it's so sad to know that this person will not be able to partake of that wonderful meal this year, along with the rest of us. And it does break my heart to tell all of you that there's an article in today's New York Post saying that Ann Coulter broke her jaw, and her mouth has been wired shut. And so she'll have turkey through a straw this year. Not turkey in the straw. I couldn't resist that. Turkey through a straw. And it's just sad to know that our beloved Ann the Man Coulter has her mouth wired shut. That according to the New York Post. Of course, you know the New York Post. I don't know how true it is. We'll see. But just a sad, sad story. NewYorkPost.com. Check it out. Excuse me while I compose myself. Somebody writes in the chat room, there is a God. I didn't mean it that way. I didn't. I'm bringing to you today the new kinder, gentler Guy James. Proposing this anger management class and finishing school, as Juanita suggested earlier in the program today. So, yes, I am biting my bottom lip, but I didn't mean it with any malice. Turkey puree, says Lauder on that. Okay, but I'm not laughing at that. It's Ann, we're laughing with you, not at you. One of my favorite people, Ann Coulter, her and Michelle Malkin. Two wonderful human beings. Wonderful. If I lived beside either one of them, I'd kill myself. You all know Mark Kondracki, right-wing wing nut. I mean, big-time right-wing wing nut. He's talking about the GOP and the problems they have. And he says, how can the Republican Party... Now, this is Mark Kondracki talking. How can the Republican Party rebound? Said the first step would be to quit letting Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Laura Ingraham set its agenda. Whoa, what a slap in the face for those folks. And this story coming out of Eureka Springs, Arkansas. I thought you'd want to hear about this. It's of great concern to the folks down in Arkansas. Run for your lives, the homos are coming. That's right, residents of the small Arkansas town of Eureka Springs noticed the homosexual community was growing. Now, mind you, this is in small town Arkansas, but they felt no threat, the citizenry didn't. They went on about their business as usual. Then one day, they woke up to discover that their beloved Eureka Springs, a community which was known far and wide as a center for Christian entertainment, had changed. The city council had been taken over by a small group of homosexual activists. The Eureka Springs they knew is gone. It is now a national hub for homosexuals. Eureka Springs is becoming the San Francisco of Arkansas. The story of how this happened is told in the new AFA DVD, they're coming to your town. One of the first actions of the homosexual-controlled city council was to offer a registry where homosexuals could register their unofficial marriage. City Council member Joyce Zeller said the city will now be promoted not as a Christian resort, but a city selling peace, relaxation, history, and sex. Yes, a DVD coming out. They're coming to your town. My, don't we all have to get a copy of that? Oh, man. I'd like to visit that town, Eureka Springs, Arkansas. I should have looked up exactly where it was there. If it's someplace near... What's that place where everybody goes in Arkansas? I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway. Yeah, man. The people in Arkansas are worried. Now, you know, just Eureka Springs, and next thing you know, it'll be the whole state. And it'll spread from there to surrounding states, and maybe Tennessee, and I'm telling you, this is trouble. Louisiana? Oh, yeah. It could happen. Missouri? Hmm. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to join us on the program today. 866-546-5254. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. I suppose by now a lot of you have heard, in all places, of all places in this world, there's rioting going on in Iceland today, or yesterday, or whatever it is there now. What would it be in Iceland right now? Maybe 9:41 at night? Maybe 9:41, maybe 8:41, I'm not sure. Probably 9:41. But they're rioting because of the banking problems they have there. A third, it is estimated that a third of the residents of Iceland have lost all of their savings in their banking problem that they have. And, of course, it is a result of this worldwide problem going on now. A country known for being as or maybe more affluent than any other nation on earth has a financial disaster on its hand, and a third, can you imagine that? A third of the people have lost all of their savings. And so they are, their main reason they were rioting today, I believe the story is that there was somebody that was arrested because of making some sort of a scene over losing their savings, and the police arrested this guy, and the people rioted because of that. But, you know, you don't hear of riots in Iceland. I think maybe Reykjavik's the biggest city in Iceland. I'm not sure, but I'm fairly positive that it is. And I think that's where this took place. So, very, very interesting that this thing is spreading around the world. It's been going on for a couple of days now. And I think it was happening mostly on Sunday, but it's a little carryover into today even. Iceland. Rioting. My, oh, my, oh, my. Somebody mentioned on the chat room that maybe Ann Coulter will take over for Alan Colmes. Do you think? Not for a while, certainly. With her jaw wired shut, she won't be able to say too much. But interesting. I don't know. I don't think Hannity would be able to get a word in edgewise, and he would tire of her shortly, don't you think? I think so. I think anybody would. That's why you don't see her a lot anymore on TV, because I think they've all tired of her shtick, the Ann Coulter shtick. Although Fox, you never know. You never know what Fox is going to do. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. What do you think about the Mormon Church and the Mormons raising all this money about Prop 8 in California? Does that sit well with you? Any Mormons listening? Tremendous amount of money poured in by people of the Mormon faith and Prop 8 in for California. You'd think you'd stay home and mind your own business, but here they are going out to California and spending money for that. I don't know. Whole world's upside down. Spoke to somebody today that told me a story of woe, for certain it is. So many young families in the same predicament, hospitalized, don't know what's wrong for sure, undergoing a lot of tests. Not just the worry of what's wrong, not just the worry of the wage earner and the family. Of course, they're both wage earners, but, you know, half the income for the family's gone while they're down and out. Nobody can afford to miss a day these days with the bills the way they are and financial times the way they are, and not knowing what it's going to be next week, if you're going to have a job or not, so everybody's working all the hours that they can get. And so you've got that worry. You've got a couple of kids. That's expensive. And you're in the hospital. You don't know for what. Something's wrong. And that's bad enough. And then you have no insurance. And you know what being hospitalized costs these days? You're talking about thousands of dollars in one day. With tests and all, you're probably talking about many thousands of dollars. First of all, the costs are out of control, completely out of control. And So now you've got a double worry. Not only are you going to have trouble replacing that person's income for a while, but you're also not going to be able to pay the hospital bill, and it might break you, and you might lose your home, and it's just a terrible situation. And I hope that is something that's addressed very quickly by the Obama administration. And we've got to do something about health care in this country. Huge problem. Let's head on over to the phone. Good afternoon. You're on the Guy James Show.
Dave, Southern California.
Hi, Dave.
Been a long time since I've been able to listen to you on my computer.
Ah.
But I'm hearing you again, and good to hear you. I wanted to let you know I'm happy to report that my county here and my area went overwhelmingly no on Prop 8. There are areas that have some capacity for thought and objectivity. I guess some of the rural counties didn't go so well. I'm suspicious of the election. I think that they can rig them wherever they find it necessary or important. And this was a real sacred one with some of the neocons.
Oh, it was. And Dave, across the state, what were the final tallies on the vote?
I've never been able to pull up exactly how it broke down by counties, but it was a rather close thing. And counties that you would assume, such as Humboldt, where I am, and Santa Cruz and Marin, San Francisco, San Mateo, Santa Cruz, Monterey. Those counties, they all were like here. 60-65% said no to that. No. And that was despite the fact that the money that was coming in was probably 15-1. Well, yes, and all kinds of distortions, dishonesty. Like they're going to be forced into homosexual relations. The teacher's going to be forced to teach school. All kinds of misinformation. Seems like there are a lot of people that were behind it, very homophobic, and willing to put up a lot of money to prove that they're so serious.
Huge sums of money. Huge sums of money. You know, it's laughable when they talk about it being a threat to marriage. I've heard of a case or two, I suppose, in my lifetime, but not because, the idea that's threatening marriage is just a preposterous joke.
How does it threaten marriage? And wherever it's been made legal, how does it threaten it there? And you can just look at the places where it's happened. One of the things that's rather amusing on this is your partner, Mark Levine, is proposing Prop 9 to ban all left-handed people from being able to get married.
Yeah.
It's worth listening to because he makes all the same irrational.
Well, it is. It's just as irrational. You're exactly right. Do we have reports of wherever that the gay marriage has been allowed that there's all of a sudden a huge spike in divorces? It's crazy. It's just crazy.
Logically, what could it do? I mean, what does it matter to you if two ladies down the street want to get married?
I don't care.
They invite you, bring them a present.
Yeah, I mean, does that mean that all of a sudden a couple of more of the ladies that live on the street that are happily married go, ooh, I can be gay now, I can get married, divorce my husband? It's so preposterous, it is.
Well, I don't think it's a choice factor. I think people tend to be one way or another.
Absolutely not. It's not a choice factor, and anybody that thinks any differently is back in the Stone Age.
Right.
It's so laughable, it is. But, Dave, we're, as they say, we're living in interesting times.
It's interesting, though, the kind of mentality that felt the need to put up so much money. They literally almost bankrupted themselves trying to make sure that this sinful thing got defeated.
Oh, yes. And you know, the odd thing about it is one of the crutches they use for all that is, threatening the marriage thing. It's a known fact. Have been researched over and over and over again that in the solid South, in the Bible Belt, that's where the divorce rate is the highest. So, what does that mean? If you want to correlate that, that the gay marriage is, the gay people are threatening marriages, does that mean there's a lot of undercover gay people in the South and we just don't know about it? Oh, I tell you, the whole thing, it makes you wonder about people's intelligence. It really does.
I'm proud to be a part of a place on the planet which didn't get fall for any of it. You know, we, several of us, went out, well into over 100, 200 people in this county with signs saying no on 8, no, 8 is 8, and say about every other car waved to us, beeped, and went out. It was 1 in 90 that he gave a finger or a down.
So, sure.
So the overwhelming majority of where I'm at was saying, thank you, stay with us, good, we love you, go for it.
Any cars with Utah plates?
I don't imagine there were many Utah, but we do have demonstrations on a main highway. 101 goes right through Eureka, and we did it in front of the courthouse on both sides. And I'm sure there's people in all the counties that have some sense that don't. Not everybody's homophobic, even in Idaho, I don't.
That's right. That's right. I don't know. I just can't explain that. I don't think anybody can properly explain it, except that money talks. And
I guess it did.
It did.
But it is in effect saying we, the majority, choose to deny rights to a minority, and that there's protections in the Constitution that says no, you don't get to do that, and that's why it was on the ballot. That's why the gays were able to get married in California until the Knights of Columbus and the Mormons bounced off the ceiling and felt the need to do battle.
Well, I would be interested to know, and I haven't. I've been remiss in not looking this up. I wonder how much one side outspent the other. I would love to know that.
Huh. You know, one thing I will observe, and that is that this is more personal. More people, the same people that hate our wars in the Middle East, the same people that believe Bush and Cheney should be impeached, the same people that share most of the concerns that plague us all, this one hit a person. They're saying, you're telling me that I don't have the right to choose my partner. You're telling me that I'm a second-rate citizen. So yeah. They came out in big numbers with a lot of heart, a lot of feeling. And I say that almost half of the group was just there to support the idea.
Oh,
I'm wondering why those same people aren't out there when there's a rally to impeach, of course, or a rally to end the war. We always get a few dozen, but we didn't get anything like that kind of turnout we got to this.
Well, it's I was shocked, to be frank. I mean, I knew that all this money had been pouring in, but I have to tell you, I was still surprised that in California that happened. I was very, very surprised. I'd
be surprised if it hasn't been rigged and tampered with a little bit. I think that the cons wanted this one to be enacted as law, and they still have the technology. They still hang on to that machine.
Well, why would they rig that and not make the president? Of course, in California, it's such.
Well, we were overwhelmingly for Obama, but Karl Rove was announcing that towards the end of the election, it was going to be close, but in the end, McCain would pull ahead and win. And they had selected for us the two candidates that they had a way of being able to say, I guess America wasn't ready for a lady president. I guess America wasn't ready for a black man to be president. And they fully intended to do that. But one of the Karl Rove's crew got indicted and was being brought into investigation what was going on with the election. Because there were Mark Kristen Miller and several others, Brad Freeman. They're showing how elections have been rigged time after time. So apparently they just didn't feel safe doing that one. It was just too much. Pointing like Obama has California sewed up and a lot of other states.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at the ones, the only places they could have gotten away with it this year, maybe North Carolina, Missouri, if they needed to. It turned out they didn't need to in Missouri. But, maybe Indiana, that was close. There aren't very many places. Even if they'd have switched all those states, they'd have still lost this year. And they know that. It was
pretty substantial.
This is a mandate.
I'm guardedly hopeful that some good stuff is going to happen. I do seriously wonder if even the most well-meaning and most conscientious and intelligent government could come in place now and rapidly undo the amount of harm that's been done to us over the last few years, so much damage, you know, to our finances, to our ecology, to our image, our war spending, you know, all of that. That's got to be reversed in short order to get this stable government going again.
Well, I hope people have a little bit of patience because it's a monumental mess that we're facing in so many fronts, and it is going to take a little time, but I have confidence, and I know that we can do it. After all, you know, people saying this is America, and if John Kennedy said that we can go to the moon in a decade before the decade's out, why we can get these problems solved. I know we can, and I feel confident in the leadership that we've got there. And if
should you again be talking with my friend and hero? I used to be a real regular with you, but my computer got somehow severed from Head On Radio Network. Not to be a happy marriage. I've had a technician working on it for hours and hours.
Well, I hope you get that issue worked out, Dave, and I thank you so much for calling today. It's good to hear from you.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be listening to you again, too.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, my friend.
Bye now. Dave from Eureka County, California. I was somewhat taken aback by that vote on Prop 8 out there. I don't know. I saw the polls, and I saw that maybe it would go, you know, it would be go the way it did. And I just a little surprised by it still. I really was. I guess it's a little too late to take another call. I'm sorry. The caller we got on the line will have to take your call another day, maybe tomorrow. Are you getting all geared up for Thanksgiving? Have you got your shopping done? Are you going to do Thanksgiving this year like you always do it? Are you going to have just as much for Thanksgiving? Are you having to cut back? Are you cutting back because you have to? Or are you cutting back just to be prudent this year? Same way about Christmas, I wonder. We'll have to discuss that this week. Are you going to have the same kind of Christmas that you normally do, or will you have to cut back this year? A lot of us are.